Hello and welcome along to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Ed McKnight.
And I'm Andrew Nicol.
And today on the show, we've got a great episode for you. We're talking about what's it like using Opus for the first time. Now, I need to give a big disclaimer here because this has specifically been asked for. You guys know that I do not like talking too much about what we do here on the show, Opus Partners. But I had this question from Braden, who says, hey, I know you guys are hesitant to self-promote the business too much, but how about a potty on the journey of a first-time customer going through Opus when purchasing? What do you expect? Have always wondered, thought other people would wonder as well. So two things I want to say. The first is, you are absolutely right, Braden. We usually don't like to self-promote because I'm worried that if you think that this is just us trying to sell some stuff, that people will miss out on the really good content. So we always just want to focus on the best content possible. But we also have a policy. This is number two. We also have a policy that if somebody asks a question, we need to answer it. So my promise to you in listening to this show, Braden, is that this is still going to be content. This is not going to be a pitch. So we're just going to talk about what actually happens. So I just want to cover off the basics first, and then Andrew will go into all of the details. So we've got a three-step process. It starts with what we call a portfolio planning session, and that's where you'll meet what we call a property partner. That's the person who's going to guide you through the journey, help you build out this property portfolio. So that's what you do in that portfolio planning session. You actually will walk away with a report and a plan with what your portfolio is going to look like. Between that meeting and the next one, you've got what we call the property selection meeting. That's where you sit down, review some properties, analyze them, that kind of thing. And then you go through due diligence, which is where you pick one and decide, oh yes, I really like this. I think it's a good investment. I'm going to go through it. But just to kind of state the obvious about, because you've asked about the exact journey, Braden, the actual first step is to go on the website, fill out a form. You'll get a call from a person called Joy or Nikki, one of the two will book you. Actually, they're both podcast listeners, and they're both podcast listeners before they join the team, by the way. You'll get a call from Joy or Nikki, book you in a time. They'll run through your numbers and just make sure that we're actually the sort of people who can help you regarding strategy and things, and that's how you get booked in for the portfolio planning session. But talk to us about what actually happens in a portfolio planning session, Andrew.
Yeah, sure. This is an interesting one because, yeah, I can't believe it's 726 episodes. We haven't really spoken about what Opus does. It's a bit like Fight Club. Have you ever seen that movie yet?
I've never seen it. But the reason is I don't like talking about us, Andrew.
Hey, you need to watch this movie before next time I see you because otherwise it'll bother me. You're in lockdown. You've got nothing better to do than Excel spreadsheet. So just treat yourself to watching Fight Club. And the first rule of Fight Club is you don't talk about Fight Club. So we're going to talk about Fight Club today. Well, the first step, the portfolio planning session, this is what you do with what we call a property partner. And that's kind of been my role in the company since we started. So I'm pretty familiar with this role. Basically, what happens is you'll have a one-on-one and you'll talk about what you're wanting to achieve. And that's probably the most important thing because I guess most people, while they might have an inkling that property investment might be a good idea, I mean, they've listened to a couple of guys on a podcast talking about it, they don't necessarily know what it is that they need to do and what they need to be looking for. So it's kind of about fleshing out those things. And it is really important to know where you want to be before you get started because that will determine what you buy, where you buy, and how much risk you put yourself under. So, you know, for example, some really good investors of mine that I've been working with for a number of years, I actually had a review meeting with them just yesterday. And he said to me, now, do you think we should be looking for another property? And my answer to him was, no, we're actually ahead of what your goal is. You can if you want to, but they're very, very conservative people. They don't want to put themselves at any undue risk. And so the number of properties that they've got today after working with me is actually going to get them to well in excess of what they wanted at the start. Now, again, they might choose to buy more properties, but knowing that they've actually now on track for their goal has been a big help for them in knowing, okay, well, we need to take some risk, but we know exactly how much risk to take.
I think it's also important to note as well, Andrew, though, we're not talking about some sort of fuzzy goal, like comfortable retirement.
No.
We're talking about a meat and potatoes goal that's actually worked out through software and formulae and algorithm that we've slaved over. So, like, we're talking about setting an accurate goal using a piece of software we use. I'm sure you'll talk about it in a moment, but My Wealth Plan.
You're cutting into my part now.
Well, you make it sound like the goals are... You're making it sound like the gulls are fluffy or something.
Oh,
like
no,
that.
No fluff. There's no fluff.
No fluff
and
is
so,
here.
Anyway, so then we talk about, okay, once we've kind of figured out, someone says, hey, look, I want to make sure that I've got $4 million by the time I'm 50. So then what happens is we've got this tool that we've developed ourselves called My Wealth Plan. And this is kind of the love child of Ed and Andrew. And basically what happens is you punch in all the things that you've got at the moment that will contribute towards that goal. And it will tell you how far on the way to that journey you are. So, you know, if you own 2 rental properties now and you've been contributing to KiwiSaver for a few years and you've got some shares and sharesies and you contribute a little bit of money, then you're 25% of your goal, which is awesome, but there's still 75% short. And so we need to do a bit of work. And then what we can do is visually map out what you'd need in terms of properties to achieve that. And obviously, no secret, we're very, very focused on property. So we'll say, okay, well, let's see if you add in a, let's just say, let's use Ashburton because that was yesterday's episode. Let's say you added in an Ashburton rental property and you did that now. And then let's say you parked that for a few years and then you added on an Auckland investment property. Now, all of a sudden, you're 103% of your goal. And then what we can do is we can produce a report off that, which basically is just your blueprint, as Ed said before, of what you need to do to get where you want to be. Now, you can take that and go and do it yourself at that stage, but most people would say, okay, well, let's find the right properties. And that's when we go to the next meeting, which is what we call a property selection meeting. Now, most often between the portfolio planning session and the property selection meeting, you'd go off and you'd see Catalyst, our mortgage broking team, or your own mortgage broker, and you get an idea of budget. And it might be that they say, hey, you know, you can do both properties now, so why don't you just kind of get started and lock all this in? Or they might say, hey, you were looking at Auckland, but actually that's not affordable for you right now because you're at 1.5 income because you've just had a child, so let's look at Ashburton first, or vice versa, whatever. And then at the property selection meeting, we might fine tune that wealth plan based on what your budget is, and your property partner will start showing you properties that meet your needs. So it might be, okay, well, I can afford a $75 a week top up right now while we're on a 1.5 income, and then we can ramp that up once we're back to 2 incomes, for example. Or, hey, we can't afford a contribution right now, so we need to be looking at something higher yielding. And we've got a total of 58 developers that we work with at 173 projects. So we've got a whole range of different types of properties from different areas. And our job as a property partner is to narrow that down to a few that would fit your plan. And so at that stage, we'd go through the property packs. So in that property pack, a lot of information from the likes of Ed, so about the area, the region, the suburb, what the growth has been in the past.
This is basically my love child with myself, if I can say that. If my wealth plan was, if my wealth plan is you're my love child. So these property packs, they're like 23 pages long, basically. And we go through pretty much everything that I would want to see if investing in a property. So what's the suburb been? Capital growth, yield, what's the property cycle? We go through step by step. This is something I'm particularly proud of. Every property has the 23-step checklist, which we've talked about on this show in the past, but it goes through line by line on the checklist and discusses it in quite snappy detail, being like, cool, we're looking for high employment areas. What's the employment like in whatever the town is that you're investing in? I think it's really great because the trouble that I reckon, Andrew, is you go buy a house off, I don't know, a real estate agent or whatever it happens to be, and you get the information pack. It's all for like owner-occupiers. Like it's all about,
absolutely,
you know, what are the specifications.
It's got some fluffy tagline.
Yeah, it'll have some sort of fluffy thing. Honestly, so there's a guy, great guy, I'm not sure if he listens to the podcast or not in my team or our team, Lachlan. And Lachlan used to be a valuer and he helps me with the property packs and pulls them mostly together. And I remember reading one and he said the word amenity. And I said, Lockie, we are not real estate agents. I don't even know what an amenity is. We don't use words like that. Or he said, something else that was so real estate agent. It was like, on offer today. I was like, no. It's good stuff, but I digress.
It's the nuts and bolts. It is the facts about a property. And so someone can actually go through and actually figure out, is this the right thing for them? Because it actually says who these properties are the right fit for and who they're the wrong fit for. So if you've got a property pack that says this is a great high yielding property and you know you're looking for growth, then it's not the right match. After that, what would happen is your property partner would put the numbers into our return on investment calculator, the holy grail of spreadsheets that I'm sure most of you have downloaded, and match that back to your wealth plan. So then we know, okay, is there a contribution? If so, how much is it? How much of our goal is that going to contribute towards for that contribution? And basically then you can kind of figure out, okay, well, we're actually a bit further ahead than what we expected because we've bought a property with higher growth, for example. And then the idea of this meeting is to narrow down these properties to the one or the couple of properties that you actually want to go more thoroughly. And that's when you hold a property and put it on due diligence. And due diligence is normally a 2 to 3 week period. And most of this is managed by a customer relationship manager. These guys are experts at actually guiding new investors through the due diligence process by managing the relationships with people like lawyers and mortgage brokers, rental managers, and they do a lot of problem solving. So if there's an issue with a contract, someone doesn't like the way, let's say a lawyer doesn't like the way a sunset clause is worded, then they're going to be your liaison there. Site visits, all of that kind of stuff. And the idea of this process is that you're going to come out the end of it with full confidence that, yes, this is the right property for me. And so you can confirm that you want to actually go ahead with the purchase, or you can decide, hey, it's not the right property for me. Let's go back to the property selection meeting and do that step again.
I think it's important to note as well that those client relationship managers like Eleanor, Kathy, Candace,
Tina.
This is Jody. This is terrible. You can't name them because there's so many people now, you forget them. The great thing is that they're there to, A, look out for each investor and make sure everybody's doing what they needed to be doing in terms of the professionals, but also telling first-time investors what they need to be doing. So like, hey, let's get that site visit booked in so you can go see it. Let's get you booked in to talk to a property manager. Because I mean, one of the things that I really like about this specific process is that we make a whole heap of stuff mandatory. So if you went and bought a property yourself through a real estate agent, which is a great thing to do if you're happy doing that, then it's of course not compulsory to talk to an accountant, talk to a mortgage broker, or talk to a property manager. You do that if you want to, but you could go to the bank yourself and da da da. And a real estate agent doesn't care whether you do any of that stuff or not. Whereas for us, all of that is compulsory. You must talk about how you're going to own this property. You must talk to a property manager about the sort of tenants that are going to be within this property. You must talk to a mortgage broker, vast majority of the time, 90% of people do, in order to make sure that your lending is sorted. And you've got to talk to an accountant about how you're going to own the property. And I think making sure that all of those steps to make sure people are successful, baking that into the process is really valuable, if I can say that.
And actually, it's a really good point you bring up there about those steps being mandatory. And this is because we've done this so many times that we know what works and what doesn't, what needs to happen for someone to be making an informed decision. And I was working with some investors just a couple of days ago, and I'm doing a review of their portfolio. And look, they've bought a couple of dud properties. Now, they'd gone to that legacy workshop that I think we've spoken about on the show before. And they were so buzzed about buying property that they went out and did it, which is awesome. But these properties that they've got are really, really average investments. And I said to them, nothing wrong with getting those, you know, they've gone up in value a little bit, but they're probably not the right thing for what you're looking to achieve. And we can remedy this now, no sweat whatsoever. But, you know, did your accountant not tell you that maybe this wasn't going to be the right thing? Oh, we didn't go to an accountant. Okay. And their mortgages were set up very poorly because they'd gone into the bank and just told the bank that they wanted money to buy these investment properties. The bank didn't give them any structure advice like a mortgage broker would. And so they just got what they asked for. And again, it's not their fault at all. They were just going ahead and doing something, which is better than doing nothing. But they could have done better if they'd followed some of the steps that we would normally recommend. So that's why we have this mandatory process, because we know success happens if people follow a process. Now, if someone confirms that they want to buy a property and they've paid their deposit, then generally speaking, there might be a 6 to, say, an 18-month lead time in that property being finished. So in that time, your customer relationship manager would be dealing with the developer on your behalf, getting updates on a monthly basis, and making sure that when you're a few months out from settlement, you're getting ready. So you've seen your mortgage broker again. You've got your loan approval updated with the bank. You've got a valuation if the bank requires that. You've had a chat to your property managers about finding tenants, and you've got everything in line. And then, of course, there's a bit of after settlement stuff as well. Of course, you know, you want to be doing a final inspection of the property, making sure that your lawyer knows that code of compliance is imminent and title's imminent, doing things like the handover of the keys and stuff like that. So there's steps that happen in there that are managed by your customer relationship manager, just again to make it as stress-free as possible. And then, of course, once someone's settled a property and they've figured out how a great investment has been for them, we sit down with them every year and make sure that they're still on track with what they want to achieve, and hopefully in that process again.
Now, look, Braden, I hope that's answered your question about what it's actually like to kind of go through that process. As I said before, you could either choose to, you know, work with us, or you don't have to as well. You can invest on your own accord, or you can invest on your own, and that's cool too if that's the right decision for you. But since you've asked the question, wanted to answer it here on the show. We're going to wrap it up there, but please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Really does help us get the message out to more people. And hey, just want to read out a review which comes from Bobo_AP, who says, great broadcast if you want to know the latest on NZ property. It's a 5-star review. And they've said, my friend suggested I listen to the Property Academy podcast about a month ago. Oh, it's been life-changing. That's so nice. I'm actually learning something new every day when I'm listening, well, driving to work instead of listening to the radio. And now I'm updating my partner and what's the latest instead of the other way around. Oh, that's really great. Hey, Bobo, we really appreciate that you listen to, it's probably a screen name. It's not their actual name, but that's okay. Really appreciate you listening to the podcast. And it's great to hear that, you know, you're learning and you're improving and you're sharing it with your partner as well. We really appreciate that. Now, hey, if you want to come along to our next webinar, it's going to be a banger. We're talking about how to plan out and then build an investment property portfolio for the long term. What properties should you have? How do you structure it? It's going to be a banger. It's happening on the 21st. That's a Tuesday at 7 p.m. I'll drop a link for that in the show notes, or just go to opuspartners.co.nz. You'll be able to sign up there. Thanks for listening to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Ian McKnight.
I'm Andrew Nicholl.
And we're going to be back again tomorrow with even more daily strategies, tactics, and insights to help you get the most out of the New Zealand property market. Until next time.